welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood, with the LCMS Office of National Mission here in the worldwide KFUO studios with Reverend Jonathan, whatever his name is.
Fisk, yeah, I'm sitting here.
It was a quiz earlier. I missed it. And moderating between us, acting as referee, is Andy Bates.
In the powerful tower of listening but not speaking, where we can speak about him, but he can't respond.
He has no microphone.
I have no microphone.
Well. Hey, you can't talk into my microphone. That's not cool.
All right. Hey, did you know Christmas is coming?
I did.
Oh.
It's Advent.
It is. That's our first that's our first clue. You know, the decorations that started showing up in Walmart in October, that wasn't our first clue.
yeah, right.
Advent. Yeah, it's Advent. No doubt people are really busy right now. We're getting really close to Christmas, and maybe witnessing isn't the thing on our minds. Or maybe it is, and not necessarily in a good way. It's like all these friends and relatives that are coming together that maybe we don't see too often, and the thought of, hey, you know, I should really use the opportunity of Christmas time to be a witness of Jesus to these folks may not actually excite some people.
What can be really terrifying to have one of those conversations that becomes very quiet very fast because you bring up religion.
Or there's some baggage
that
comes along with this because we've done it before and it hasn't gone very well. And so it might be something we just want to avoid. It's kind of like, well, you know, we only get together once or twice a year. Let's just kind of put it to the back burner. Let's not go there. Let's keep everything pleasant. And and that may work, except that's not what we're called to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, going back to 1 Peter 2:9, one of those verses we share a lot. We're God's people, a holy nation. We're His priests. We're all called to do what? Proclaim the excellencies of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And what better time is there than Christmas to talk about that? You know, glorious light that has come into our darkness.
I think personally, you know, what scares people off, like you mentioned, it is baggage, memories of other times where there's been some anger in the family over the conversation, or maybe a time when you were young and brought it up and weren't quite equipped to have the conversation. You got angry yourself, got really defensive of your own faith, and put yourself in a situation which now everyone's afraid of repeating. So everyone's walking around on eggshells, almost dancing around the topic. I mean, it's Christmas, for Pete's sake.
Well, you know? Don't ruin Christmas by talking about Jesus, okay?
Right.
All right. So we want to talk about, well, what do we do? How do we deal with all that?
Right.
Well, the answer is Lassie, this approach to witnessing that we use as part of Everyone is Witness evangelism program. And, you know, of course, the first letter of Lassie stands for?
Listen.
Listen. All right. So rather than getting into, hey, I'm going to tell Uncle Bill this, or I'm going to tell my cousin Sally this, it's let's just listen.
Right.
What are we hearing? I've been doing some home improvement projects, and I have my, you know, Christmas music streaming in the background not from KFUO, but from Pandora, and all these Christmas songs, quote-unquote Christmas songs, because they speak nothing of Christ.
Right.
I mean, it's Santa, it's Frosty, it's Rudolph, and yet these are the things that people, you know, really shape their Christmas with.
Right.
So we can get really defensive about that, angry about it, or we can start listening to why, what's going on in people's lives and minds and hearts, that this is what shapes Christmas for them.
Well, they're trying to hide usually from something, often pain, and they've made these things, which aren't necessarily, Frosty the Snowman, there's nothing wrong with him, but he's a poor god, you know, he doesn't give you a lot of hope. And so it's almost like they bury themselves in the bustle to try to hide from some sort of fear. And that's where the listening is, to ask, you know, what is the pain in their life right now? What is the thing that they're trying to hide from that we would not hide from?
Well, listen to the lyrics of some of these songs. Santa Claus is coming to town. I mean, you better not pout. You better not cry. I'll tell you why. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
There's a few kids who could learn from that song, though, these days, I think.
Yeah. Or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, here's this misfit. He doesn't belong. Everybody can mock him until he does something that helps us.
Right.
Then he's a hero. Right. So if we're listening to what people say and what they're latching on to, we begin to get an insight into why do they find these things attractive?
Right.
And it goes back to that whole human condition of works righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of I've got to find something good in me. And of course, Christmas, the secular Christmas, is always seeking that out. Let's find the good in man and mankind. Let's find a good in you. You know, the classic Christmas story of some, you know, hard-hearted, cold person who melts away at Christmas time, and, you know, the Grinch who wants right. to steal everything but then finds joy in Christmas. That's the American story. You know, and that's, as we listen to people and we start to pick up on those things, now we have a, you know, we have an opportunity to talk about Christmas in a different way.
Right. And but that begins by asking them about their real thoughts on the matter, right? Mm-hmm. One of the, are you familiar with the book Tactics by Greg Kugel?
Haven't read that one.
No. Well, it's kind of similar to Lassie in a lot of ways. And one of the main things is you just keep asking questions, prodding for why they say what they say, why they think what they think, and letting them sort of dig their own grave, which they tend to do with their works righteousness because they know it's not enough, and opening up that wound that you can begin to share, you can begin to pour into the wound the answer.
And so some of the questions we may want to ask somebody, if you really want to start to get into an understanding where they're coming from, is, well, why is Christmas so special to you? Or what, can you remember a Christmas that was really stands out in your memory? And what was it about that Christmas that really stood out? And, you know, you start to ask questions that just let them open up about their understanding of Christmas. And in there, you know, those questions and the listening that follows the questions is where that seek comes in. You're seeking that point of connection. You're seeking a way of saying, well, how does Jesus fit into their idea of Christmas?
Right, right.
And how does their idea of Christmas really fall short? And it always does fall short of the fullness of Christmas. Not just because they say Xmas instead of Christmas or Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Get deeper than that.
Right.
Get to, you know, what is it that's in this, that's missing from this person's life? And we know what it is. Ultimately, it's Jesus. But what elements are missing in their understanding of Christmas that we can start to fill in?
And again, I think the average person knows this at an intuitive level, but they spend so much of their mind and time trying to pretend it's not there. And the asking part, that's what's so key, and seeking is fitting to this as well. You're really doing the gift of helping them be honest with themselves about their own disappointment with themselves, right? And that's what sin is myself is not good enough, so that this babe born in Bethlehem can have meaning again.
And disappointment and Christmas, sadly, are two things that go together very strongly.
High suicide rate during this time of the year?
We see people create these expectations that really are based in a heartfelt desire for the things that are good. And yet, because we're in a fallen world, everything always falls short of that. And if their only hope is in achieving this expectation of the perfect Christmas or the desired Christmas, and they put all this energy, and there's a lot of energy and money and time that goes into making Christmas special, and it falls flat, you know, there's a huge amount of disappointment.
That's possibly why they get so angry at a conversation that would cause prickles or discomfort. They're trying so hard to make everything comfortable. Look, we got a turkey, and we're going to be happy or else, you know?
Yeah.
And we, you know, anything that would be discomforting is shunned away, and yet the meaning of Christmas for the Christian is that into our world of discomfort, where we are uncomfortable, shepherds in the fields keeping watch of their flocks by night, this ain't the Ritz-Carlton, yeah? Jesus comes as the answer to that.
And that's the answer we have to share. And so we, you know, we've listened, we ask questions, we seek that point of connection, and we find it, and it could be something very negative, it could be something very positive that just falls short of the fullness of what Christmas is, that we have an opportunity to share.
Right. And then once you share, got to invite.
Right. So what are we going to share, though? You know, this is really key here, is that, you know, we share God's word. Interesting, even though I'm listening to, you know, this Pandora stream of music, there's still Joy to the World. There's still Silent Night mixed in with Santa Claus and all that. you know, we don't have to eradicate the secular Christmas. Mm. We can accentuate the Christ in Christmas and talk about, hey, you know, what's your favorite Christmas hymn? What's your favorite Christmas song? You know, talk those kind of questions that lead us to,
right.
Well, this one here, just what is he talking about here? What's so special about the first Noel? You know, what are the shepherds doing out in the field?
Right.
Why are they so happy? Why,
right.
You know, what is an angel host? Yeah. Just asking those kind of questions that use the Christmas story that are familiar to people to show them what it's really pointing us to. Then the invite. Inviting is easy enough at Christmas. Most people, over half the population in America will attend worship services on Christmas. So, you know, invite people to come to worship. Most churches are pretty geared up for visitors at Christmas time. It's a good time to come to church and let them hear the word of God and trust that the word will accomplish what God purposes. And then the encourage is, you know, let's keep Christmas going. Christmas is, it doesn't end.
Right.
You know, the Christ child has been given to us. Christ is with us. Emmanuel, right? And let's keep it going. Let's follow up Christmas so it isn't until next Christmas again that we have these conversations. So Christmas is getting close. It's Advent. It's opportunity to share Christ and share the good news with your friends, neighbors, loved ones this Christmas.